Hello again, and welcome to exciting episode 205, also known by the nerds as Lisa on Ice. Its original air date was November 13th, 1994. I'm Dave Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
Hi, I'm Mike Scully, the writer.
I'm Bob Anderson, director.
And I'm Matt Groening, creator of...
pretty much all of it.
No,
everything.
Itchy, okay. All right, Itchy. We'll find out who created Scratchy another time. This obviously, we're going to talk about where Mike first came up with the idea and this and everything, but it's just talking about what's on the screen right away. We were very annoyed at the news, and still are. The news has only gotten worse, but, you know, turning news into infotainment was a big, angry thing for me and has never gone away, and either is the news. They haven't listened to me at all, apparently. They continue to do this. And one of my favorite things is that they have the death toll before anyone died, and they're just waiting for it to shoot up. And that's where they report the storms, especially here in California.
And I love the way Blackman jumped into his chair at the beginning.
A lot of action just in his entrance. So Mike, how did you come up with this idea?
Well, it's funny you should ask, Dave. I have very few passions in life, but hockey is one of them.
Mike is from New England, everybody, so he's right. He's actually, and certain people probably already know, it's from Springfield,
Massachusetts.
That's right.
The ones where the Simpsons really live. Yeah, so it starts out with the snow day here, which was also something I loved as a kid, was just sitting by the radio waiting to see if there was going to be school when it was snowing. That's why I love Bart burning his books, just because he thinks there's going to be no snow. And there's nothing more disappointing than on an expected snow day and waking up and finding out there was no snow at all.
Did that ever happen?
Constantly. Our town was very proud of their plowing system. They would always tout that to the students.
We would listen to the radio in Portland, Oregon when I was growing up, too, and it would be the following schools are closed, and they'd name all these schools, but not the school that I cared about.
Yes.
My own.
Did that mean it was actually open, or were they making it open?
Or sometimes they would actually say which schools were open, but usually they just would only say the ones that were closed, which meant if you didn't hear your school announced, you'd have to go to school.
Right.
And that was very annoying when all these other schools were closed. You go, what?
How could those schools be closed and ours? And I had the same thing in Philadelphia, and I used to pretend I heard the name on the radio, even if it wasn't in the list, and then I'd blame it on the radio. They said it on the radio. I wish I would have taped it, but it was definitely, I was a big truant problem at times, yes. But you kids, stay in school.
So Mike, you said before this thing started, you were saying you hadn't seen this episode since the...
I have not seen it since it originally aired, so it's been 10 plus years. And here they are. These academic alerts are also based on something. When I was in junior high, they had something called warning cards.
Yeah, we really hated the Newton, and the
Newton.
Fact that the handwriting recognition software was horrendous, and that was our anger at that.
Me fail English? That's impossible.
I was what's called, and I think you are too, David, an early adopter. Of new technology.
I am an early adopter of new technology, particularly sex toys. I'm actually on the list that tries them out.
In fact, you're wearing one right now.
I have many actually, yes. If you hear what you think is my cell phone vibrating. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, we both like technology, yes.
But yes, I bought a Newton,
that's one as well.
So,
it's always
and
a bad idea.
And now to find one that is not smashed against the wall, they're real collector's items.
This warning, I really hope you try harder.
That's all of them, and I'm so proud you didn't try to forge my name. How about a present, son?
Well, I could use a new pair of hockey skates.
So, yes, I love the way, Mike, the way that was done in front of the audience, and everybody was humiliated by what their worst subject was in front of everybody. The school's really brilliant at that, giving them permanent scars in their lives. The schools are great at that.
Competition to compensate for their own failed dreams of glory.
By the way, the great Maggie Roswell is the volleyball coach.
I inhaled my favorite whistle this morning.
Is that Maggie?
Yep.
It sounds like Tress.
Sounds like Tress.
Wait a second. It says here, though.
I know, but these things are often wrong and written by drunks. Sometimes they give us these, well, they always do. They give us these fun fact things, and often people are on.
Wait, I assume that was the volleyball coach.
That's Maggie right
That's
there.
Maggie.
There's
That's
Maggie.
The volleyball coach.
The volleyball coach
I'm actually
was
pointing
Tress.
At the screen. I don't know why, but
yeah.
I'm pointing.
Well, no, we're on camera. Don't worry, Mike.
This is really scary.
So, Bob, did you have a good time on this one?
Yes, very much so. I enjoyed working on this episode.
Well, you did a very nice job. There's a lot of nice, subtle acting. I particularly enjoy, which happens a bit later, but Bart being angry and being ignored, and his expressions are absolutely hilarious, and they're really fun to look at. There's a lot of nice, subtle in the writing as well, but also, again, you know, what our animators do is they just completely support the writing in such a perfect way. Great subtle brother-sister stuff. Yes.
That last look is hysterical.
He's such a good parent in this. This is one of Homer's best parenting episodes where he's pitting his children against each other gleefully, and he never learns. He never. Again, I've said this many times on The Simpsons, there's never any learning on this show. People only continue and reinforce their bad behaviors.
Our goalie cannot stand up. Tell you what, get some rope.
I gotta say, I didn't know anything about hockey before I got this script.
But you're very accurate the way they tie the goalie.
That's actually
exactly,
is true.
Do they really do that?
There was a coach named Eddie Shore who used to tie the goalie into the net to get them to not be afraid of the puck. That was based in truth, yes.
That's great.
Not off the ground.
Not off the ground. Yeah, because that it sort of eliminates it.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, since I bet on the other team, we won't be going for pizza.
Great coach.
Great coach. A lot of great sad looks in this episode. You're very good at that, Bob, for some reason.
What's that?
No, to make people look sad, very good, and yet funny.
Bob, we're sitting over here on this side of the room. You're way over there. We don't know why, but...
I don't like the animators and the writers to be near each other. I just don't think we should mix. I think it's uncomfortable. And I don't...
Bart's good.
Bart's good, and Lisa's even better. Look at how she just, because if you have a brother like Bart, you've learned to block, and so that was our motivation in that. That's
well, and hockey's remained a big force in their lives over the years.
And again, I love the fact that all the adults don't care anything about the children. They're willing to put them in horrible danger and check them out just in the name of winning, which is so much of what this becomes about. A real study in American competitiveness and what's good about it and what's really not good about it.
Lisa, if the Bible has taught us nothing else, and it hasn't, it's a girl's girl sport, such as hot oil wrestling.
Buckle that was something. A needless shot.
No, I think a needed shot. Absolutely. Any chance we get, we're going to attack every organized religion out there. You know, we get a lot of people... This I think this was something I might have come up with.
Oh, yeah.
And then Milhouse shows up for his teeth. But that's after this, isn't it? Yeah.
I now pronounce you President of these United...
Stop the inauguration. I just discovered a President-elect. Got it up in second grade gym class.
Were you guys threatened with this? When I was a kid and I, you know, I didn't always behave in school. I will be honest about that. And I kept getting threatened with this is going to go on your permanent record.
Oh, yeah, yeah, constantly.
It's going to get on your permanent record.
No, this is... I'm sorry, David. This is you right here, Monster Island.
Was it really? Yeah. I have no memory of that. I have no memory of that. But I think someone else came up with the joke. It's just the name.
It's just
the
name.
And because it was a peninsula. Now, right. Isn't it good that we're explaining the jokes that you already heard, everybody? Yeah. Just getting to hear them a second time.
I do love that Marge lied and said that she didn't have Milhouse teeth.
Yeah, that was... Yeah. Marge is saving those teeth. Because I pictured her bringing them out whenever she wanted to threaten the children with being unsafe. Look what could happen. Look what could happen. That's her point of view, is that the worst can always happen.
Look, the kid's got bosoms! Who's got a wet towel? Come here, you butterball.
Don't make me run! I'm full of chocolate!
That scene made me feel sad.
He looked great running, though. I love the way he looked. And for him to say he was full of chocolate was the perfect.
Watch. I don't know how you two can sit here laughing at poor Lisa while she...
But so you were threatened with it being on your... Matt, were you threatened with things being on your permanent record?
Of course. In fact, a friend of mine was one of the inspirations for Nelson. was actually permanently assigned for one class period to be in the principal's office.
And permanently.
And they left him in there alone. And he would charge a quarter, and he'd take a page out of your permanent record for each quarter. And I didn't know about it until he got found out, and he was punished by not being sent to the principal's office. Because he would give you back your...
But what has ever been used? Has your permanent record ever been used against you?
I didn't think I'd ever get this job if they checked my permanent record.
Exactly. And I remember looking it over, Bob, and it was pretty disturbing.
When I went to buy a house, I had a
lot of... Yeah, it does raise your interest rate by a quarter point if you've been in the principal's office. In my problems in school, my teacher did something that nothing ever happened to anyone. She took my desk permanently and put it next to her desk, so I was like the co-host.
I had that.
Yeah, did you
I
have did, that?
Yes, yes, except mine was facing her. It was exactly
facing
her desk, so all the other kids
couldn't see you.
Were behind me.
I had facing her desk, pushed up against
pushed
the desk.
Up against, but really? Her. Oh
yes,
my God!
Yeah.
You see, there's a pattern here. People wind up on comedy shows. Mine was turned toward, and I was thrilled. I was the and I could react to everything and get all kinds of laughs. It was great.
I love my Bart's expression here, Bob. Just that smile. I love that.
I think this is a sequence that I came up with that I really like, and it's typical of what we've done, where he's raising his hand, but all the answers are wrong. And it's similar to jokes we've done before, which is Homer studying really hard and working really hard and getting an F. And I never get tired of that for whatever.
Just to take you right back to where you were before the scene started.
Exactly. Well, we're showing again that it's not worth trying, that you are what you are, and you should make the best of that, probably. Sorry, Bart. All these adults are laughing at the hurt children. That is definitely a theme.
There is quite a bit in this, yeah.
There is. Well, hockey, now, did you ever get hurt really bad, Mike, playing hockey?
Just this past summer, I cracked my ribs for the second time.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
That's commitment.
Go figure, 48 years old, I should be in my prime.
Now, what are the oldest people that are still playing hockey?
48 years old.
48, yeah.
No, professionally, you're about 40, 41, 42.
That's pretty old, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah.
Mother, I know. How about we play the basketball? I'm no Harvey Globetrotter, but... Watch out for the Shaq attack. Ow. I told you to watch
it. Again, the mother, yes. Marge shot him right in the head with the ball. It's a very subtle episode.
We have lost this shin guy. Hack the bone.
Wow. I am the tiger, mouth of a teamster. Just think of all the time I wasted on you. Well, not wasted. I love you.
Very nice acting on Dan's part there. Very Dan Castellaneta. Look at that face. I love
That's great.
Face. Isn't that hilarious?
Oh, one more.
No, it's good because it's really simple.
And then
like
it gets sad. Look how he got sad at that point because there were too many hugs.
Bart, what are you doing in my room?
Now, I'm sure this was also kind of based on something that went on. I would go and visit my cousin who was my same age, James McLaughlin. Great guy. Jamie. He'd love that I called him that. And we would eventually get into physical altercations when we were young, and that's where the windmill, you can be here, but I'm going to do this.
I guess
we've all had that at one point or another.
Yeah, I think you had, I remember David Cohen talking about it with his sister or something.
Did he have that too?
Yeah.
Country, you get out. That doesn't make sense. I know you are, but what am I? Get out! Okay. But on my way, I'm going to be doing this.
This also is Bob did a great job animating this, but the acting is fantastic in the sense that I love the sounds that Bart and Lisa make fighting. And then we cut downstairs and see Homer and Marge reacting to this.
I remember experiencing this both on the receiving and giving end. The thing is that even on the receiving end, I bought into the logic. Well, it is just a propeller.
That's all it is. And we have to get hit. And this still goes on in the writing room periodically if we really get into an argument. This is also a fantastic sequence. Great, wonderfully done by Bob. And
it's your own fault.
That's a massive dent into that.
I know, it's huge.
It is a huge dent. And look, I love his the wall-eyed when he's eating, too. That's
also, it's really fun to mix the sound on these things because you can change the meaning of a gag completely by how harsh the sound effect is. And generally, we found over the years that the more realistic and the louder it is,
the more
painful it is, the funnier it is.
I like the light switch. She uses it to stop them, and then he uses it to get them.
I think
this
is maybe my all-time favorite act break.
Is that really?
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's look how mean he is. Look, it's unbelievable.
Fighting for your parents' love. Fight.
That's really.
All right, I'm gonna make a little deal with you, Muggs. I'm gonna let you all out.
No, he had such a big prison.
You know, Wiggum is sometimes in the jail, or there's one little cell, and then when we need it, he's suddenly running the prison. This is what we call the famous flexible reality of The Simpsons.
You know what we do, though, on this show is, I remember we very consciously try, except we're failing here, to make the prison bars actually not too wide that you can actually
so you can
slip
just walk through.
The comedy prison bars, but I guess in that case we didn't quite pull it off. Looked like you could slip through.
But what Matt was saying before is very true. The mix of this show, which they work on for almost a week, and then we come in for the last 4 to 6 hours of it and give notes and change things around. It's very, very important, the sounds, that they're not, at certain times, they're not too intense, and other times they're super intense, overdone, because it is easy to take some of this darker stuff and some of the more violent stuff and make it unpleasant instead of funny, and you have to really have an ear for that and feel it.
So, Bob, you're directing this without the sound effects. You only have a vocal track to work with, right?
Exactly.
Right, exactly. And
sometimes temp sound effects, horrible, poor temp sound effects, which we always keep them terrible for some reason because it would take forever to put good ones in.
Well, I'm always dazzled by you and the other animators' ability to anticipate what's going to be a huge laugh just based on the visual, because it sits there when you just watch it without
like
sound
in our animatics.
We're going to take my thumb's reference to what movie now?
Pope of Greenwich Village.
That's right. Mickey Rourke said that? Was it Mickey
Eric Roberts?
Eric Roberts, that's right. Eric Roberts,
My lucky rabbit's head. Mr. Honey Bunny, you a human monster! You want a piece of me?
Yeah, Yardley and Nancy were great. And it's Yardley Smith and Nancy Cartwright.
Oh, is that who it is? No, they are. It really is. You just completely get that relationship that everyone knows so well of two siblings of that age.
What has she ever done? Nothing for nobody.
Maggie saves Homer.
You wouldn't like it if the kids played favorites with us.
Hey, Mom, look at me, Mom. Hi, Mom, over here. Mom.
Hi, kids.
Homer is so positive. He doesn't get it that the kids don't like him. You see, that's what's lovable about him. This is kind of based on all the bad Star Spangled Banner sung by celebrities. Roseanne got herself in a lot of trouble, and lots of people have no business singing that song, and lots of people forget the lyrics. And
there's a real famous story about, I think it was Robert Goulet, who actually forgot the lyrics.
Is it?
Yeah. And tried to make them up.
Robert Goulet. Clearly un-American.
No. He did the show. He was great.
He's great. Actually, he did the gambling show.
Yeah.
And he was such a good sport. And even though he hates America, he loves The Simpsons. No. He's a good American. I'm only screwing around.
I love all these shots, Bob, where they're coming straight down on the goal like that. The facial expressions are it's really terrific.
You know, we very rarely do a straight-on pose. So when we do, it's a big deal. And it's... you know, it's fun to see The Simpsons like that because they actually look a little different because we're usually using them on three-quarter angle like that and not the straight-on thing. So it's always fun when we choose to do that. It really makes a point to save it for certain intense shots.
Jimbo Jones called for tripping. A penalty shot will be taken by Bart Simpson.
For some reason, the... the announcer is Tom Brokaw for the for a local hockey game. I mean, that's the way Tom makes money on the side.
Supplementing the
ankle. My throat is sore.
That's Harry Shearer, does a fantastic Tom Brokaw, who, as we're recording this, just recently retired.
Brokaw. Yes. Not Shearer.
Not Shearer, that's right.
The town is very wrapped up in this children's game.
They really get into it, but I mean, this is also observational, even though look how evil everybody looks. it's very much what happens at all these peewee softball games and everything. Parents get completely involved in the most asinine way, and I think I can say anine.
Well, I have five kids, you don't want to sit there for 2 hours and have them not win.
Yeah, okay, there you go. So you haven't learned anything either,
no,
have you,
no,
Mike?
No.
These are very, we took us a long, you know, it takes us a long time to come up with these things that aren't really funny but sweet, because, you know, you want to not be too maudlin and too cutesy, but, you know, you want them to move you. I was watching it last night before this, unlike you, Mike. I was watching this, and I really moved me. I think we made good choices. And
it was my mistake, by the way, to have the clock ticking during the penalty shot.
That was
totally my mistake. I heard about that from many of my friends.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But they must have been thrilled that you did a hockey show with all your hockey buddies and everything. And this obviously is the quintessential Simpsons moment, which is that even if two people do figure out that competition should not go into this crazy behavior, then people are actually not going to learn from it. They're just going to get angry and riot. So that's the secret of this show, is that one good deed creates thousands of bad ones. So
that's a great show.
Also, when in doubt, have the mob go crazy and
We get mobs in The Simpsons at the drop of the hat. I won't say what award it was, because I can't remember, but we won some sort of cockamamie award for this show, and it was from kind of a conservative organization, so I was even worried about going to the ceremony. But I went to the ceremony, so I figured, well, good, you know, and when they played the clip, they showed Bart and Lisa hugging and then cut out all the fighting. They did not show the Simpson-esque version of it. They showed the horrible, crappy television version, which would have had everyone happy at the end. And I was really kind of annoyed at that. And a lot of my speech was yelling at the people who were giving us the award plus a cash prize. So that's how, you know,
Cash prize.
Huh?
Cash
we got prize? A cash prize. I don't know what happened to it.
That's the first time hearing of it.
Yeah, I know. I remember when I came in that velvet suit. That was
stuffed with cash?
Uh-huh. Well, there was a little cash left over, yes, for the hat. You know, but I thought I looked good. And this is a fantastic hockey arena-esque ending by Alf Clausen, and played, I don't know by who, on the organ, but it does a great job on the organ. Okay, we'll be quiet.